Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program today. This is a special program. I am praying that you are going to experience healing in your life, in your heart, in your emotions. This program is called Healing of Memories. So let me share with you a scripture from Isaiah 43, and it goes like this. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I like to start with humor sometimes, and I heard a joke about a 90-year-old nun. She was in the confessional, and she was confessing the same thing over and over again. Apparently, back when she was about 25 years old, she was voted to be Sister Cook, and she loved the job. The only thing was Mother Superior was a snoop. And she would come into the kitchen and she'd look in the oven and she'd check out the pots and the pans and she'd check out the menu and see what's going on. Drove Sister Cook crazy. One day, Sister Superior came in and she began her snoop routine and she's just in the oven, taking a look in the oven. Sister Cook snuck up behind her with a broom and she whacked her right in the rear end and Sister Superior took off, never to return again. Now, here's Sister Cook, a 90-year-old nun. She's in the confessional. Confessing the same incident over and over again, and it was driving Father crazy. Finally, Father said, look, sister, you have confessed this hundreds of times. If there was ever any sin here, it's been forgiven. Why do you keep confessing this? And Sister Cook kind of smiled, and she said, well, Father, it's so fun to remember. And what I want to tell you is that we all have fun memories, and we all have not-so-fun memories. And as I was thinking about it, I have a lot of fun memories that I wanted to share with you. And some of the fun memories were getting 2 holes-in-1 in golf, having loving parents, and I remember them with great fondness, having good friends, both that I grew up with and right now. I remember touches from God, fillings from the Holy Spirit, great memories, fond memories. You know, when you practice in golf and you take a swing, what you're trying to do is create muscle memory. That's why you'll always see the pros out there practicing and golfers out there practicing. Even muscles have memories. And what we're trying to do is create good memories to make good swings. Well, in addition to the good memories, there's some not so fun memories, negative memories. And in my own personal life, I just wanted to share with you a few of the not-so-good memories that I've had. And these memories can actually cripple a person and can harm a person. And they can be wounding and hurtful. And they can cause all kinds of strange behaviors. Well, anyway, as a young man, a freshman in high school, I remember having a panic attack in English class. That was not a very good memory. And then, of course, one of the hurtful memories I can remember, a number of them, were breaking up with my girlfriends in high school and college. That was devastating. I mean, some of those memories hurt so bad that it causes physical reactions. And then a memory that was very hurtful, caused a lot of grieving. I lost my dad to death about 12 years ago. And then, of course, there were other memories that I've had that hurt me, 2 knee operations. And then I remember one time, it's kind of funny, but it was a hurtful memory. I was driving to see my girlfriend and pulled my car in, and her mother and father's car was parked right there. As I turned in, as they were looking out the window, I hit their car. And it was just like, that's a memory I'll never forget. That was very hurtful. So what I'm trying to say is that we all have good memories, and we all have hurtful memories. And what separates us from any other animal on earth is that we can choose to remember. Animals remember, but they can't choose to remember. We can actually choose our memories. whether we want to remember the good things of life or the hurtful things of life. You know, we all get into this routine. And without memory, you know, how would we ever make our cereal in the morning or our toast or get our coffee or orange juice or whatever? See, we have a memory. And that memory helps us through life so that we can navigate our way through life. And without memory, it would be very hard. We've probably all seen these movies about people that have amnesia. And amnesia is when you forget who you are, and you forget where you live, you forget even your name, and you don't know how to navigate your way through life. So memory is a great blessing. It's a great grace from God, because without memory, how could we navigate through life? But memory, although it's a blessing, it can create hardships, because it can create wounds and hurts and trauma because of these negative memories. And I'll talk about that more as I go on here, but wanted to share with you, you know, as I produce these programs, my producer has a computer right there behind the scenes, and the programs go into the computer. And all the computers, they have to operate, in order to operate, they have to have a memory chip. They have to have a certain amount of RAM of memory. And without a memory, computer really isn't any good. And without memory, we're not any good either. Now, you see on my habit here, I have what's called the sign. And we passionists, I'm a passionist religious, we passionists have a dedication. We actually profess our first vow to the passion of Jesus. To our first vow is to meditate upon and remember in a very dynamic way that Jesus has died for us, that he suffered for us, that he gave his life for us on the cross so that we could have eternal life, so that we could have forgiveness of sins, so that we could be saved. And we passionists have a saying, may the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ be always in our hearts. So what we're saying is that whether we're praying, whether we're driving, whether we're counseling, whether we're preaching, we want to remember that passion. And that's exactly what happens at Mass. Those of you who are Catholic, when you go to a Catholic Mass, what we're doing is we are dynamically remembering the passion of Jesus. That's why oftentimes we'll put the cross over the altar in a sanctuary front and center so that you can see it, so that you'll remember that this isn't just a ritual and it's not just a religious service. We are trying to remember the passion so dynamically. This is a word that's called anamnesis. Now remember what I just said. If you have amnesia, you forget. But if you have anamnesis, you dynamically remember. And we believe at Mass that we try to remember so dynamically that the efficacy of the power of the cross is brought right into the present so that you can participate in communion in the salvific power of the cross. And it all happens by memory. So memory is very important in our spirituality as passionists. And then, of course, my mother's 88 years old. And one of the hardships of growing older, and many of you who are growing older, you know this, and even if you aren't growing all that much older, you've probably experienced this even in your 20s and 30s, you start to forget. You don't remember people's names. My mother especially is having such a problem with this. You know, she'll talk to me on the phone, and she goes, you know that person, and she'll be talking about it, and I go, Mom, what's their name? She goes, I can't remember. And so memory starts to fade as you grow older. And you struggle with it, and it's very hard. And as a preacher, I rely upon my memory so much to be able to preach the gospel. And without memory, I would be up a creek. So I need memory. We need memory to be able to navigate in life, negotiate life, to be able to have a spiritual life. We have to have memory. The Passover, for example, was a time when the Hebrews were going through the desert. And actually, God freed them from Egypt, and then they went through the desert, and they were told to remember the goodness of God. So a major part of our spiritual life has to do with memory, has to do with recollection, has to do with recalling the great works of God, the good things of God. That's what we do when we read the Bible. We remember the good things that God has done for us. Memory is so vitally important in a person's life. And in addition, even our nation, collectively as a people, we remember our dead. We remember those who fought for us in the war. We remember those brave men and women who died and gone before us. And it's called Memorial Day. So memory, I'm trying to impress upon you, is something very important. We need it. We have good memories. But unfortunately, we also have negative memories and bad memories that can cripple us, weigh us down, anchor us down, and we need healing. And remember the reading that I just had. God says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Remember not the things of the past, the former things. I'm going to provide a way for you in the desert, and there's going to be streams in the desert and a way in the wilderness." And I'm praying that if you have any negative memories or hurtful memories that I'm about to share with you, that you will sense God doing something new in you, that there's water gushing forth in the desert, that there's a way in the wilderness of your heart, that something new is about to happen in you. And I'm praying that you will experience healing for any negative memories that you've had. So as I said, you know, we've all had these beautiful memories, but we've all had what I call hurts and resentments and guilt and sins and regrets. Some of you have been abused and you've had traumatic memories from the past. You can be abused verbally, emotionally, sexually. And what happens is these memories, these hurts, this guilt, these resentments can weigh us down. They can anchor us down. They can actually paralyze us and keep us stuck in the past. And they can create borders around our life. And they can paralyze us and influence our present. For example, this is a sports example. I love to play golf. And, you know, when you come up to a golf hole, you look at the water and you look at the bunkers and everything. And, of course, you try to avoid all that. But fear can actually cripple you even in your golf swing. And there's a hole that I play on one of the courses that I play in Houston, and I play it quite often. And it's a par 3 hole that has water right in front of me, bunkers and high grass to the left, and you got to try to hit it on the green. Well, since I play it a lot, the last time I played it, I hit it in the water on the right. Of course, I'm going to naturally aim left, and then what ends up happening is I hit it way left into the bunker or way into the high grass. Or if that's the last time I play that hole, that's what I did, I end up hitting it to the right in the water. And then I end up with what I call having Samsonite before I play the hole. And what do I mean by that? Well, Samsonite is luggage. It's baggage. So when I come to the hole, I've got baggage from the past that's influencing my shot in the future. And if I went left last time, I might go right the next time. If I went right in the water last time, I end up going left. That's having baggage from the past. And you know, many people, not just in golf, but many people in life have Samsonite. They have luggage. They have baggage that they're carrying with them into their present that's influencing their behavior, influencing their emotions, influencing their life. And what needs to happen is, and I wish this could happen in golf, we need to let go of the Samsonite. And we need to let go of the baggage. You see, what happens is, I've met people in life, everywhere that I go, who have suffered various traumas in their life. They've been through hardships. They've been through woundedness that they carry right into their present. And because of the wounds and the traumas and the hardships that they've been through, it influences their behavior. It influences their degree of happiness. For example, as I said, some people have been physically, emotionally, sexually abused. And if that's happened to you in the past, if you've had any kind of an abuse situation, it's going to influence you. And what oftentimes starts to happen is you begin to have low self-esteem. You begin to have feelings of inadequacy. And instead of being ashamed when you do something wrong, people have what I call shame-based nature. They're not ashamed of their deeds, they're ashamed of themselves. But the good news is that there's healing. You can move through this. Because of Jesus, who is our healer, you can actually move through any abuse that you've been through, through a healing of memories, through inviting in Jesus into that situation. In addition, I've met other people who live in regret. What do I mean by that? Regret is when you're sorry about the past and the decisions that you've made and the behaviors that you've done in the past. and you live in regret. I remember meeting a woman who was living in regret because 3 years ago, she had an opportunity to marry this man. She felt like the man was the right person for her, but at that time, she just couldn't do it. She told him no. They ended up breaking up. Now here she is 3 years later regretting that decision. And it was really crippling her and paralyzing her and causing her not to enjoy her life and to just live constantly in regret. And I told her, I said, you know, we all make wrong decisions. And we all make decisions that we regret. But what you have to do is you learn from your mistakes and you move forward. Remember Paul the Apostle, he said, this one thing I do, I preached a whole sermon on this. I wrote a book called The Sacred Walk where I talk about this. He said, this one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind. So you have selective amnesia. Forgetting what lies behind, remembering that no more. He said, I press on toward the future. So we've all made mistakes. We all have regrets. And one of the keys in the spiritual life is, you know, you got to let some things go. And we've all made mistakes with our decisions, but we've got to put it behind us and move forward. And then other people that I talk to, it seems like they're addicted to guilt. Now, guilt is a good thing. When we do something wrong, when we sin, when we make a mistake, we should feel guilt. If you have a good conscience, you're going to feel guilty. But the problem that many people have is they get addicted to this guilt. They continually beat themselves up, and they have trouble forgiving themselves. And I want to pray in the name of Jesus that any addiction to guilt will be broken. God doesn't want you guilty. He wants you healthy and moving forward. You can receive forgiveness. You can go forward. And that's what we just had in that reading. God said, remember not the things of the past. I'm going to make a way for you in the wilderness. There's going to be streams in the desert. So there's refreshment and new life. We live in the new covenant as Christians and as Catholics and whatever your denomination is. In the new covenant, God says that I will be your God. You will know me from the least to the greatest. And the hallmark of the new covenant is God says, I will remember your sins no more. If you're feeling guilty, if you're struggling with guilt, I'm inviting you, if you're a Catholic, to go to confession. Even if you're not a Catholic, go to a minister, confess your sins. Catharsis is good for the soul. Get it off, and you will experience healing. And then there's fear. Fear is another. I've talked about regret. I've talked about abuse. I've talked about guilt. Well, what about fear? Fear is another one of those memories that can cripple you. I told you that I had a panic attack when I was a freshman in high school. That was such a devastating memory for me that influenced me and paralyzed me in so many different ways. And it was very hard for me to overcome that. I had to face my fears. I was just simply reading in English class, and as I'm reading, all of a sudden my heart started beating really fast, and everybody started looking at me, and I couldn't go on. And I was just reading. And then I perceive a call to the priesthood, a call to preach the gospel, a call to read publicly all the time. And it was very difficult for me to overcome. I had to face my fears, and I had to face those memories, and I had to go through it. And then I remember one time when I had to have some dental work done. This is when I was a young man, and they had to actually extract some teeth. I believe they were wisdom teeth. You know what they did right before my operation? They took this belt or these ropes, and they actually tied me down before they put that mask on to put me to sleep. It was a very traumatic experience for me. And ever since that time, I've always had this fear of being put to sleep. Whenever I had to have my knee operations, I was like very nervous and talking to the anesthesiologist about this, saying, you know, I'm very afraid of being put to sleep because I had a traumatic experience. But it's by facing these experiences more and more in the future, I'm coming through my fears. And so many people are crippled and paralyzed and held bound by their fears. And they're finding out that they can't move forward in life because of fear and regret and all kinds of different emotions that happened to you from the past. So the beauty of God and of Jesus, he sees the context of your life, he knows what you've been through in the past, and he wants to bring healing. And I want to tell you that God understands. God knows the source of your fears and your regrets and your guilt in your addictions, in the pain. And God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Remember not the events of long ago. There's streams in the desert for you. There's a way in the wilderness for you. So I want to talk about healing because I really believe that, and this is the real purpose of this program, I really believe that God wants to bring healing for the negative memories that you've had in your past. He wants to bring healing to the traumatic events of your past. And he wants to move you forward from the negative happenings of your past and the behaviors that you may have right now. First of all, you have to understand, don't run from the pain. You know, when it came to my fears and my traumatic events and my panic attacks, the first thing I want to do is you want to avoid pain. And for many years I ran. Then when God called me, I had to face my fears. And I had to face those traumatic events and what happened to me in the past. And if you remember, in the way to healing is by facing things. I wrote a booklet that I want to share with you. It's on my website, and it's called Face Your Fears. If you remember, in the Old Testament, they were going through the desert, and they were bit by snakes. And the way to heal, they were dying. The way to healing was they took these snakes and they put them on a pole. And Moses said, whoever looks at that snake will be healed. Whoever looks at that in faith will be healed. Doctors use this as a symbol of healing. Maybe you've seen outside your doctor's office this pole with a snake around it. Well, that comes from the biblical story that when you look at what's bitten you, when you look at what's harmed you, when you look at what's traumatized you, you can experience healing. So don't run from the trauma and don't run from the pain. You have to embrace it and you can experience healing. Second of all, please realize you are loved. You are loved by God deeply. He understands what you've been through. He understands the context. He's the one that created you. He's the one that gave you the capacity to have memory. He understands the context of your life. So please realize that Jesus died for you personally. God is the one who created you. God is the one who loves you deeply. And because of his love for you, you can experience healing. And then remember, most of all, Jesus was a healer. He touched all kinds of people. I think of the story of this leper that came to him. And, you know, the leper was covered with sores. And in some ways, we all have leprosy. Leprosy from the past, woundedness, traumatic events, traumatic memories, abuse, guilt, shame, regret, all these different things. So this man comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, you can heal me. And that's what I want you to be thinking in your mind right now. Jesus, you can heal me. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He reached out his hand and he touched that leper and the leper was cleansed. Remember what I said, streams in the desert, away in the wilderness. And right now, in the depths of your memories and whatever you've had happen to you in your past, I want you to see the hand of Jesus touching you in that traumatic memory, touching you in your behaviors, the guilt, the shame, the addictions. And I'm praying that you will experience healing. Those of you listening by radio, the sound of my voice, Jesus reaching out his hand and touching you. Those of you watching by TV, literally right now, the hand of Jesus reaching into your life right now. You're grieving. Your regrets, your guilt, the abuse that you've suffered, the shame, the self-rejection, and he's bringing healing to you right now, helping you to face it and to move forward. Now, maybe all the memories won't be gone, but the effect, the intensity, the hurt will lessen. And I'm going to ask you to invite Jesus into your memories, into your pain, more and more and more. As you pray, say, Jesus, I believe that you're doing something new in me. And you will experience a greater freedom and a greater release. And let me pray for you now. Jesus, I pray that you will touch each person listening by radio and watching by TV. As you touched that leper and brought him cleansing and healing and new life, touch the leprosy in our life, the woundedness, the trauma, the pain, the abuse. I pray that your people will have the courage to confront their issues and move forward. I pray that they will know how much you love them, how deeply you love them. And I pray that you will heal the negative memories. You will heal the dysfunctional behaviors. You will help them to move forward into a new freedom. And I pray that they'll be able to put the pain and the trauma of their past behind them and that it won't paralyze them anymore. With your gentle and powerful grace, heal each person listening to me. May they never be the same. May they move forward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.